My name is Mark, one of the pastors here. I get to spend the next few moments with you guys, and I'm so honored to do that. I want to share a picture with you of 49 of our young people around seventh grade, give or take, who are part of our confirmation class this last couple of months here at Providence Church. This is them on their retreat last weekend. And today, in the next service, 40 some of them are going to be confirming their baptisms and saying yes to Jesus. And 18 of them are going to be in that tub as well. It's going to be a glorious mess in here in the next service. And we are so excited to see how God is still moving through his church and in the lives of young people, especially. Just a beautiful thing. So I wanted to share that with you so you can be praying over them as well. I'm going to jump into Luke chapter 6 with you guys. Yes, we're still in Luke chapter 6. I'm only going to share a few verses with you today just so that we can kind of linger in Luke chapter 6 a little bit longer so you can have some more of that. We're starting at verse 43. These are words of Jesus. He said, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Maybe it's moments like that with Caden or all of those students in the confirmation class or all of the graduating seniors I know we're going to have up here in a couple of weeks as we celebrate them. There's tons of them graduating this year. Maybe some combination of all those things. But I am strangely feeling positive about the state of humanity right now. It's strange, right? That doesn't make any sense. You're like, do you not watch the news, right? No, I realize what's happening in the world around us right now, but somehow I just have this, I'm filled with hope for the world. And I know it goes against everything that we're thinking today, but I truly believe that a strong majority, not all, but a strong majority of people, and certainly of us gathered in this room and worshiping online, really want to do what is right. We want to do the right thing. Or at least, we want to do the right thing. See what I'm saying? I think it's also true that we want to be good. We want to be good people. Or we want to be good people. I think like at the core of it, maybe it's just that we want to make the world a better place. I think that's really true of people who would gather on a Sunday morning in a room, because what it tells me is that you recognize that there's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than your life. And we want to have good contributions into the world. So what Jesus says here in this passage might make us feel either good or bad about the ways we are contributing to the world around us. I think if we boil this teaching down, it's already pretty boiled down, but if we boil it down even more, I think we could say what Jesus is saying is good produces good and bad produces bad. Lesson over, right? Like pretty simple teaching, very straightforward. But this is one of those teachings, I think, that we might be tempted to gloss over because it seems so simple on the surface until we try to live it. I've learned that when Jesus uses metaphors, he does so because the thing that he's teaching is actually quite complex, and he knows that I'm quite simple. So he uses a metaphor. I think what he has done here is packed in probably hundreds of pages of teaching, deep theological, biblical concepts into three lines by using this metaphor of a tree that bears fruit. It's why we are able to continue exploring the words of Jesus thousands of years later, and still having them reveal new things to us because they're living, they are alive. And there is no greater teacher than Jesus And what allows his word to carry so much weight for us in our lives is the fact that he lived them. He lived them out. His life bore fruit, which today gives us life. But the people around Jesus, when he first said these words, they did not see it that way. The religious leaders of Jesus' times were watching all of his miracles, and they were listening to his teachings, and they were baffled. And so they said, he must be working for Satan. He must be working for the evil one. And so to that, Jesus says, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. So when he starts talking about good trees and good fruit, he, at least in part, is talking about himself. It's like all of this that you see, all of this good that you see happening, the miracles, the amazing teaching, the fact that people are coming in droves, people are tearing holes in roofs to come get to this good thing, it couldn't be coming from a bad tree. Jesus for us is like the prototype of a healthy, good tree. And so when we say we want to do the right thing, we want to be good people, we want to make a difference in the world, as Christians, we have a model for how to do it, and we are given the grace to try. So Jesus, in these three verses, gives us three truths, and I'm also going to give you with them three questions that I'm going to have you listen for as well that will help us to apply these truths to our life. So the first truth that Jesus is lifting up is this: like a good or bad tree, your fruit will expose what is happening on the inside. It's scary. Honestly, right? That's pretty scary. Like, we think that we're hidden, that we keep stuff hidden away. On the positive side of that, when we talk to our confirmation students and we talk to anybody about baptism, we talk about how what you're doing is an outward thing, an outward sign of what God is doing on the inside, on your heart. So there's evidence on the outside of something that's happening on the inside. So Jesus was also sharing this parable so that his followers might be able to take a moment and assess their own spiritual health, the health of their heart. They might say, how healthy am I? And we can learn a lot about our own spiritual health by the kind of fruit that we are putting out into the world. And in Matthew's telling, Jesus said, by their fruit, you will recognize them. And so if we're having to do a kind of an assessment on our own spiritual life and spiritual health, it can be really, really difficult. So we'd have to start with asking the question, what kind of fruit am I producing? So for me, one tool of assessment that I have used over the years actually comes from an old director from the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. He would say, he would kind of look around at the players in his symphony orchestra, and he would look at their eyes, and he would try to determine, are their eyes shining? Are they lit up? And if not, what am I doing to prevent their eyes from shining? Can I see the fruit in the eyes of the people around me? Is there any evidence in the people around me that I am a living, healthy tree? So the tempting thing to do with this teaching from Jesus is to stick to the black and white nature of good and bad. We are heavily influenced by old Westerns and Star Wars depictions of good and evil. May the fourth be with you yesterday. These things kind of influence our understanding of good and bad, good and evil. The problem is that it's a little too simplistic. That's actually too simplistic of a translation of what Jesus was saying in these short verses. Using the labels good and bad could actually just let us off the hook, and it would kind of allow us to just kind of stay on the surface of life. And doing so might actually make us feel like we've got no hope. You know, I must be a bad tree. If I'm a bad tree, is there any hope that I would be able to produce good fruit? And I know folks, I've met folks, maybe you have too, who are just determined that nothing good could come from them. But the same question was actually asked of Jesus. People looked at Jesus, they knew where he was from and his background a little bit, and they said, could anything good come from Nazareth? Could anything good come from us? But another way of saying this is found in Matthew chapter 7. So every healthy tree bears good fruit. Different words here. I know it sounds very similar. Every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. I just want to point out that the words for healthy and good that are used there are actually two different words. And so sometimes we translate them both as good, but by pointing out that a tree is either healthy or unhealthy, we see the cause, the root for the good or the bad fruit. It says a healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. It's not just good or bad in the moral, kind of ethical sense that Jesus is talking about, but a good or bad health condition, like the condition of your heart. What's the condition of your heart today? Jesus is inviting us to look at the condition of the tree. Is it healthy or is it diseased? I like to share about my parents from time to time. They're such a big part of me and my faith journey. There's a couple of things that they taught me that I think were core things. And the first one is they taught me to love God. The second one is they taught me to love what God loves. They taught me to love what God has made, all of it. The people that God has made, the creation made by his hand. In fact, to test out one of my thoughts about today's passage, I reached out to my father, who for 40 years was a professor, a college professor, specializing in the field of botany. In my household, I have claimed, and I use this at from time to time at appropriate, necessary times, I will say, hey, I'm the son of a botanist. The context in which I would say that is when I'm explaining some kind of scientific fact, you know, I might have made it up, but it could be a fact, and I'm explaining it to my kids and to my lovely wife, and if there are any questions, you know, I'm like, hey, I'm the son of a botanist. I know what I'm talking about. Usually it's met with a deep level of respect and understanding. Sometimes there's an eye roll or two. A lot of times there's an eye roll or two. But I push on, you know, I want to share scientific facts. I'm going to claim that I'm the son of a botanist. So I asked my dad, I actually reached out to him this week, and I said, Dad, is there any, like, scenario in which you would take a diseased branch, say, part of a diseased plant, and try to attach it or graft it onto a healthy one? I knew enough to know that was the kind of a thing. You could graft plants together. And if you did that, would you have any hope in curing the diseased part of the plant? And my dad, he's a straightforward guy, and he was like, why would you do that? Just cut off the diseased part. You're going to mess up the healthy part. And I was afraid that was going to be his answer, that he didn't understand. I was working on a sermon illustration for you guys today. But it's true. The fruit reveals the condition of the tree. All right, so the second truth that Jesus reveals here is that a tree always bears fruit that is in keeping with its actual nature. Hear those words again. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. So say, like, you thought you were planting an apple tree, and a few years later, it starts producing pears. It's not that your apple tree started producing pears. That you didn't have an apple tree to begin with. When we're at our best, we produce what we were designed to produce. And so if you're a healthy tree, you will know it by the good fruit that you produce. Now, having said all of this that I've said up to this point, I want to point out that this parable, this metaphor that Jesus is using, is actually not about fruit. The religious leaders then, and often now, we want to focus on, in fact, we all do this, we want to focus on the fruit, the thing that's on the outside, because it's easy, right? We can work on that. We can just kind of, you know, polish it up and fix it. And if you just get the fruit right, we think, then we're good. This is the human condition. We take the path of least resistance. But the teaching from Jesus is focused on the kind of tree that you are that produces the kind of fruit that you produce. It's not just interested in the fruit that you produce. If you've got a rotten fruit problem, don't just start with the fruit. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Let him start with your heart. the fruit will actually flow from there, and according to what kind of tree you are. Jesus didn't come to fix your fruit. He came to fix your heart. And we're still tempted to try to do it. We try to fix the outside. We try to clean up the fruit. We try to make it look better. We show the fruit, reveal the evidence of what God is doing. Like I said about our students, baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace. We're seeing something, evidence of what's going on the inside. And for many people, baptism is the first step of a public witness to what God has done through Jesus. We just saw it and experienced it. It shows a bit of what God is doing under the surface. So I would say to Caden and to our confirmation students, we so want to see good fruit in your lives. And we will look for it. And we will celebrate it when we find the good fruit. But the deepest desire that we have for you and for all of us is to be good and healthy and so in love with Jesus. Jesus didn't come to fix your fruit. He came to fix your heart. So two questions that come out of those first two truths that we have said that Jesus revealed in this passage. The first question is simply this: where are you planted? Just kind of go with the metaphor of the tree, okay? Where are you planted? If you think of your life like an orchard, you know, and ask, am I planted in a place that's out in the sun where I can receive the sun? Am I out living where God seems to have designed me to live? Am I in the spot where God designed me to live? Am I in the right environment to grow in a healthy way? Am I planted in the mission field that I need to be in? You know, it's interesting to me how we oftentimes kind of keep the season of thriving of our lives. It's the next one, right? That we're gonna get to that. The time that I'm really gonna serve God. The time that I'm really going to just be on mission for Jesus, it's the next one. But the fact is, we are in the mission field right now. Wherever you are, you're in the mission field. This is it. The second question is, what is feeding you? So to stay again in this tree and fruit example, where is your nourishment coming from? Are you planted by a stream of good water? Are you planted in the Word of God? Are you in regular conversation with God? And do you seek out other people to help tend your soul? In addition to God feeding us from above and through his word, we gain strength from others who are striving to follow Jesus. Several years ago, I took my family out to this place in New Mexico, Red River. It's actually a ski resort, but we went in the summer. And so we took the ski lift up to the top of the mountain in Red River, kind of overlooking Red River. We got to up at the top, there was kind of this little restaurant, and we got some food and went out to the deck. And I just remember looking out at this beautiful grove of aspen trees up at the top of this mountain. And there was a sign. I'm the kind of guy who stops and reads the signs. And I was looking at the sign. It was explaining that this grove of aspen trees is able to survive up here on the top of this mountain, which is oftentimes very windswept. They're able to survive because underneath the surface, they're all connected. Like all the roots are actually connected and they're talking to each other and helping to feed each other and helping to hold each other up in the midst of high winds. We need other people around us, so we get fed by that. Other people who will help to tend our soul. Anybody tired of the tree metaphor? Right? I mean, metaphors are good, right? But you can go on too long. Yeah, I think we're there. Jesus thought so too. So we're not going to pretend you're a tree anymore, but this is you now. The third truth that Jesus gives us: a storehouse of good things in your heart produces good things in your life. Here's how he said it: a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Such a profound sentence. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And the original language here literally means out of the good treasure of the heart. The heart is like a treasury in which good and evil is stored up within you. So the third question is, what are you storing in your heart? And think about it, like what words or beliefs are you putting in or allowing to be put into your heart, like to seep in? And where are these voices coming from? Where are these ideas coming from that are getting, they're making their way into your heart? You might be able to tell by just kind of considering, what's the first thing you reach for in the morning? What's the first thing that gives you information in the morning? What are you reaching to in those moments? This is a constant kind of evaluation that we have to do as followers of Jesus. If I've got words that seem to be coming out of me that are not good, then I'm regularly having to check the condition of my heart. It's kind of like, I don't know if this happens to you, like the bag of potatoes that you bought at the store and you're like, they're on sale, I'm gonna make mashed potatoes, and then you put them in your pantry and then they kind of end up in the back, you know, and then after months, you know, you kind of uncover them again and you find that they are moldy and you look at them and you say, how did this get in there? It's like that with our hearts. You evaluate what's in our hearts and we're like, oh my goodness, how did that get into my heart? How did that get in there? It's not true. It's not good. I'm using up valuable storage space in my heart for something that isn't good and something that isn't true. So here's the good news. Here's where the healing comes in. If the fruit that you are seeing around you is not good, and if the eyes of the people around you are not shining, and you are tempted to believe that you're just a bad tree, I want you to know that there is hope. In spite of what my dad said, an unhealthy branch can actually be grafted into the source of life. Scientifically, maybe it's not possible, but in the spiritual world, it is possible. An unhealthy branch can be grafted into the source of life. Hey, I'm the son of a botanist. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Abide, remain, stay in me. Stay connected to Jesus. And your heart can be transformed. And then so will the fruit that is being produced in your life. Let us pray. God, we thank you for the words of your son, Jesus, which challenge us. At first reading, they sound just like everything else in the world and don't actually have much to do maybe with the Christian faith. But what makes them stand out from everything else that looks at good and bad and good and evil is this gift that we are given in Jesus, to abide in him, to let him be the source of our life. So God, we give ourselves to him more and more, and as we follow down this path of following after Jesus, we pray that you would produce good fruit within us. And that as the world sees us, as we're connected to Jesus, that they would see good fruit, that they would have hope for their own lives. So God, as we come to this table of communion, we pray that you would nourish us here. Give us what we need for life, for the abundant life, for the eternal life in your son, Jesus Christ. We pray that you would send your Holy Spirit on this bread and juice, that you would make them be for us the body and blood of Jesus, so that we could be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. In Jesus' name, amen.